with St. Joseph Natchez 99.3.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Natchez. Stay tuned and focused in that voice of life ministered to you by our pastor, Altonio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
The Gospel according to St. John. I want to look at chapter 6. Amen. And this is a very simple message, but it is for the person and the people who are willing to let God use you. Amen. It is for those who are seeking for God to use them. Amen. If you don't want God to use you and you just want to use God, then the message is probably not for you. Amen. You know how it is. We use God to get what we want rather than to give him what he wants. Amen. Chapter number 6, and we'll read. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover and the feast of the Jews was nigh. And Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him. He said unto Philip, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, "There's a lad here which have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto the disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." Amen. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. Amen. The Bible here in the Gospel according to St. John, just a brief little bit of history about John. John was the brother of James, the sons of Zebedee. John, many times we talk about John and they say John must have been related to Jesus. And in fact, I believe that he was in my own study. I know we always quote commentaries and theologians that say that they had to be some relation. But when I think about how his mother, Salome, went to Jesus and asked for them to be on the right hand and on the left hand, Jesus not having children himself, that means that she had to be able to approach him as a woman of his of relation to him. And so that means that he also had a sister by that same name. So she went to ask Jesus to they be at his right or at his left, amen, to rule with him. And so John, being one of those men that was the sons of Zebedee, they call him the sons of thunder because of how they preached and by the manner of spirit they preached, amen. When we look at John was the only disciple. He is called the disciple in his gospel, in his modest way, the disciple that Jesus loved. He was the only disciple that followed Jesus all the way to the cross. Amen. All the rest of them, they ran away, they hid, and they were scattered. But John, he stayed with them. John was the only one that was really part of. He was the only one that when Jesus told who was going to be the one that betrayed him. John was the one that leaned over and said, "Tell me who it is." And he leaned over on Jesus's chest and leaned over at supper time. And Jesus said, "The one that I give the sop to." Amen. So John had a very unique and close relationship with God. I said all that to say that if you have a relationship with God, he will share things with you. If you're faithful to God, look, John was the one at the foot of the cross when he looked down. He said, "There," he said, "Mother, there's your son. Son, there's your mother." When he looked down at the foot of the cross and he saw John, he said, "I can even trust this man with my mother." Amen. And so Jesus, when you have a relationship with him, the question is, can he trust you with what's precious to him? Oh, my God. So we have to learn how to build our relationship with him and follow him in spite of, and no matter what goes on, stay with him. Amen. Now, this miracle that we are talking about today, this miracle is the only miracle that is recorded in all four Gospels. This miracle is recorded in all four Gospels, and this is one of only two miracles where Jesus actually used his creative power to make something happen. The other one was when he turned water into wine. In all the other miracles, he used what was there to make it happen. Amen. And so when we look at this, we got to see here that this is the scene of what was going on here is that after John the Baptist had been beheaded, they came to Jesus in Mark's gospel and told him all the things that happened. And they told him how God was using the disciples, but also how John had been beheaded. And then he had met up in chapter 5 with the Pharisees, and they thought they had some victory, I guess, against him. And Jesus began to kind of, in a way, scold them because he said, "Look, you're trying to downplay me, but I want to let you know that I got a witness even greater than John. Although John is dead now, I got a witness greater than John. And what's that witness?" He said, "The works that I do is the witness for me." Amen. And you know, when we talk about our lives and being a witness for him, when we talk about being a witness, the work that's happening in our life should be a witness. Amen. And the word witness is not just to go tell somebody about it. It's to live so they can see all about it. Come on and say amen. And so when Jesus said, "The works that I do shall prove who I am," then he began to heal. The Bible said that there were many of them that were sick among him, that he had compassion on them, and he healed their disease. Amen. The one thing that I love about God is that his love and compassion supersedes what humans can even think or imagine. Amen. His love is so powerful. His love, you know, in order for you to do anything for God, first you have to walk in love yourself. Amen. And so look at this. He said, "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee," which is Tiberias. Amen. I've been there, stayed there. And it says, "And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased." Now, we have a group here that's following Jesus because of the miracles. Amen. I don't want to be in that group. Now, that sounds funny, huh? The reason why I don't want to be in that group is because the only reason they are following him is because of what he's done. You have a lot of people, the only reason why they pray is so they can get him to do something. The only reason why they praise or even show up at church is because they want to see him do something. There are three groups here. There are three groups. There's the multitude, and the multitude followed because of what he did. They are the disciples, I mean the 70, and they follow because of what he gave them to do. Then there are the disciples of Jesus Christ. And maybe I can say there's a fourth group, because the third group is the 12 that's there because they are close to him and they feel like they have a special position with him. And then there's the three. And in the three, there's a one. The three went up to the Mount of Transfiguration with him, but then there's the one, John, who followed him no matter what. Which one will you be? Which group will you find yourself into? Amen. The multitude followed him because of the miracle. Now, when you go to this place that they're talking about and referring to, I've been there, and you go to this place and you stand right on the cliff where Jesus stood, and you can see down in the valley of that cliff, and you can see where there's room for thousands of people to stand. And so there were 5,000 folks there, and Jesus saw that the multitude followed him, and he said because of the miracles that he did on those that were diseased. Now, when we talk about a disease, sometimes we think about, you know, some disease that caused you to be sick, such as cancer or, you know, or some other disease. But guess what? Sometimes we are diseased in our spirit. We're perplexed, amen. We have situations and things that happen. And guess what? God is saying that I will even touch and heal whatever it is that diseases you, whatever plagues you, amen. And the Bible says in verse 3, and Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. He saw the people. They came out after him, but he decided to go up a little higher. He sat with his disciples, and the Passover feast of the Jews was nigh. Verse 5, and then Jesus then lifted up his eyes, saw the great company coming to him, and he said unto Philip. Now, I wondered why he talked to Philip. Amen? When we start talking about Philip, the word Philip or the name Philip, filio, Philip, we got to understand that this has to do with the relation of love. John records that he talks to Philip. Everybody else says that he just talked. But John says that he talked to Philip. And Jesus lifted his eyes and he saw him. And then he talked to Philip. He said, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Because it's time for the Passover. It's time that everybody participate in the feast. Now, you got to remember, Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law, but I came to fulfill it. And it was something that they were supposed to be doing. It was a time of feasting that they were supposed to keep. And so all of a sudden here, Jesus says, Philip, he says, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now, Philip, now what God is doing here, he's talking to Philip because Philip's name has relation to love. And so what God does when he speaks to you, he deals with you on the basis of what level your love is on. I might have forgot to give you the title. The miracle of the master's hand here is what we're talking about. But when he talked to Philip, he said, look at the press of the people. They were pressing him because of what they saw. And he was saying, Philip, he says, where can we buy to give these men to eat? And he said this to him to prove, for he knew what he was going to do. Now, this is what I like about the sovereignty of God. No matter what you face, no matter how difficult it looks, you need to know that God has a plan. No matter what it looks like, you need to know that God has a sovereign plan, and that, look, he knows already what he's going to do before the situation arises. The only people the only one that will panic will be us, because we are not sure what God is going to do. But one thing that we need to be sure of, even if we don't know what he's going to do, we need to know that he will do. Amen. We need to know that he will do. And he said, Philip, after the pressing of the people came upon him, he said, Philip, we need to buy something to give them to eat. But he didn't say this because he was unsure and he wanted Philip to go find some bread. But he already had a plan on how to feed the people. One thing that I found out about God is that if the people will pull on him and press on him, he will give to them. Amen. He's El Shaddai. In other words, he's God Almighty. But really, what that word El Shaddai means, it means that he's the many-breasted one. Now, this may be controversial for some of us that are male, but he said he's the many-breasted one, meaning that he can supply and he can feed as many as he wants to and supply as many as he needs to at any time. Amen? So what I'm saying is that just because God is handling my problem and feeding me and dealing with my situation does not hinder him from doing the same for you at the very same time. And so while he's blessing me, he can still bless you. While he's healing him, he can still
still heal you. I wish I had somebody here. We got to understand that God is not limited like mankind. We can say all I got is two hands and two feet. I'm just one person. I can be here or there. I can't be everywhere at the same time. But God is omnipresent. That means that he can be with you at any time of the day, anywhere. Oh, come on and say amen. Whatever geographical area you're in, it does not limit the power of God. That's why I can't understand how some people say, well, I don't think God will move unless I'm over here. I got to move and go to the city in order for God to move. But I heard him say that you'll be blessed in the city and blessed in the field. I don't have to be on the mountain for God to do something, but the God of the mountain is also the God of the valley. For David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear evil because he is right there with me. So no matter where you are, God is there. Amen. And he knew what he was going to do. And when people press him, if you notice, when you go back, and I'm not talking about the pressing of the people, right before he did this miracle, in one of the other gospels, you'll find that he did the miracle of the woman with the issue of blood, how they pressed upon him, and how the disciples said, how can you ask who touched you when everybody's pushing on you? Everybody's pulling on you. Amen. What we got to understand is that he's there. And if you press and pull on him, God will do something in your life. But while that was going on, Jairus' daughter was dying. But God still blessed and healed Jairus' daughter. Amen. And so he said, he knew what he himself would do. And so when God challenges you, when God asks you or challenges you, he most of the time is going to challenge your love. Because your love makes you more like him than anything else. We can prophesy all we want. We can speak in tongues all we want to. We can lay hands all we want to. We can do all of that stuff. But what makes me more like God is when I have the love of God in my heart. Amen. And when God is dealing with you about love, he's trying to bring you up a level. He's trying to bring you to where he is so that you'll look like him. Athanasius, one of the greatest early church fathers, in all of his writings, one thing that stands out that he said that sticks in my mind and in my heart all the time and stuck in my spirit is the fact that he said that we are the image of the image. In other words, Christ is the image of God and we ought to be the image of Christ. In other words, we ought to look like God. And how do we look like God? By the way that we love. Amen. And the Bible even tells us that they will know that you are my disciples because of the love you have one for another. Because you love the brethren. Amen. And so he began to check and test their love. He says, Philip, he says, what can we do about these? And he said, and he himself knew what he would do. Verse 7, and Philip answered him. He said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them that every one of them may take a little. This is what Philip said. Philip said that we got about in our bank account because Jesus had an account. Judas held the bag. Judas was the keeper of the bag, and they had money. They had 200 pence. What that means is a pence is a day's wage. So they had enough for 2 years. I wish I had some. I mean, for 200 days. I'm sorry. They had enough for 200 days. And so they had 200 days worth of pay, and that still would not have been enough to be able to feed all these people. And then one of the disciples, Andrew, a man, manly, that's what his name means, Simon Peter's brother, said this. He said, there is a lad here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Sometimes you look at your life and you look at yourself and you say, what am I among so much? I got trouble up to here, and what I got, my little pennies, my money, what is that compared to what I need to do? What kind of difference can I make in the community, in my family? And I'm just, you know, some people, you know, we like to sing that song, I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody who can change anybody. But God is saying, you can change. You can do it. I can use you. Amen? But what we have to do is learn how to put what we have in the master's hand. The title is The Miracle of the Master's Hand. And if we can put whatever we have in the master's hand, then he can make a miracle out of it. Amen? What we got to understand in our children, when we have our children and we get worried about them, it's time for us to start putting them in the master's hand because we need a miracle. God, look like they're on the wrong path. But Lord, I'm putting them in your hands because I need you to work a what? Miracle in their life. Amen. This sickness I got, I don't think the doctors can really help me. I don't feel any better. But just like the woman with the issue of blood, I spent all I had trying to get well. But I believe if I put this in your hand, God, then you'll bring forth a miracle. Amen. We need to put it in his hand because it's better off in his hand than in my hands. Don't give it to me because I'm just going to give it to him. Amen. Because it's better off in his hand. And so he said, there is a lad here. Lad means a little boy. They took a little boy's lunch. Now you can't tell me what God can use. I don't know what you have and I don't know who you are and what you think of yourself, but God is speaking to somebody to tell you today, I want to use you in spite of how little you think of yourself. You know, people may belittle you, and you may feel little in the eyesight of others, but God is saying, I want to use you. Amen. This message is for those who want to be used. He says, he says that there's a lad, and he have 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, and he says, but what are they among so many? We got to understand when God looks at something, he doesn't look at it the way that we do. When God does something, he doesn't do it the way we do. God multiplies by dividing. He adds by subtracting. I wish I had somebody. That's the way God do it. Now, we can't do it that way because it doesn't work in our mind the way that way. And so when God does something, he does it in a way that boggles your mind. And the Bible even tells that he will confound the wise, amen, in the things that he does. And the Bible says, and Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now, we talked about the press of the people. And the problem that the people had was that here it was coming to evening time and they had nothing to eat. They didn't have street lights so that they can walk among the street to go find something to eat, and the shops wasn't going to be open. The store wasn't going to be open. And so they was like, Jesus, you need to tell them to go ahead and go. Now, what if you read Mark's account, Mark says that Jesus saw them and had compassion on them and he began to teach them. When God loves you, he begins to teach you. The Bible says that he loves you and he chastens them that he loves. And so sometimes, even when he's spanking us, he's teaching us. I wish I had somebody. We got to understand that God loves us, so he takes us through and let us deal with situations that teaches us how we ought to be with him. Amen. He began to teach them, and then he tells them, look, he says, and make the men sit down. And some of us, we want to get up. We want to be in the forefront. Well, I don't want to sit down. I want to be up. I want to do what I'm supposed to do. God called me to do this. Well, first of all, if he called you to do it, he sets you down first. And he gives you something. And God doesn't want you to give people, and I'm going to get to this in a minute for the teachers and the preachers and the ministers and everybody else. But God doesn't give you something so you can turn around, keep it for yourself, and give people something else. He said, Jesus said, make the men to sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place. Now, when we start thinking about this, the Bible says that these people in Mark, he says that they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so what did he do? The great shepherd that he is, he caused them to what? Sit down in the grass. Now, let's go over to Psalm 23. He said he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's the psalm that talks about the shepherd and the power of the shepherd, the person of the shepherd, and the provisions of the shepherd. If you're able to follow and obey and hear what the shepherd has to say, the first thing we need to do is humble ourselves in order for us to hear and receive what God has for us. And if we humble ourselves, then God begins to work a miracle in our life. But if we keep lifting ourselves up, when you sit down, when he said sit down, that means that they were obedient and they were humble enough. And the Bible said, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat of the good of the land. They were getting ready to eat. Come on and say amen. He said, sit down, and they were numbered about 5,000. This means that the men were 5,000, not counting the men and their families, not counting the men and the women. This was just 5,000 men along with several more thousand women and children. I wish I had somebody. And so Jesus took the loaves. He took a little boy's lunch. Amen. He took a little boy's lunch and he got ready to feed them. But first of all, I want you to see that you have to get in the right position to receive from God. There's no way that you can be prideful and receive from God. There is no way. Come on and say amen there. There's no way that you can have, you can think highly, more highly of yourself than you ought to and receive from God. But when you're humble, the Bible says that when you're humble and you're submitted to God, that he will lift you up. Amen. That he will bring, he will lift you up and he will position you like he wants you to be. All you need to do is humble yourself. Amen. Then he positioned them and he said, make them to sit down. And he says that there were much grass and there were 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, look at what he did. He broke it and he gave thanks. Something that we do. Amen. Something that we do in remembrance of him. He broke it and he gave thanks. And then look at this. He distributed it to the disciples, to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes that as much as they would. Now Jesus, he broke it and he gave thanks. Look at the provisions of Jesus and the power that comes with him. He says he broke it and he gave thanks, and look, he distributed it to the disciples. God wants to give you something so that you can give the multitude. But what we have done, we have gotten what we want to get, and then we hold on to it, and then we give people whatever we want to give them. But God is saying, that's not how it works. I want you to give all I gave you to give, and then I got something left over for you. I wish I had somebody here. We got to get to a place where we trust God enough that his plan will work. We got to get to a place where we realize the sovereignty of God, and when God says do something, we do exactly what he wants. If you know, the one thing that I've gotten to the place now that I don't want some philosophical preacher trying to give me what he think. I want him to give me the word. Preach, amen. And I don't want somebody to try to make this thing feel good to me, and I every time I come to church I can get a shout on, amen. That ain't helping me. That's like giving a child candy to make him live on it. Amen. I need something that's going to challenge my faith, that's going to challenge my love, that's going to cause me to produce fruit. I wish I had somebody here. And so he tells them, he says, here, give them what I've given you. And so what we get now, we got some ministers, instead of us giving to people what God said, we're trying to give them what somebody book has said. We're trying to give them motivational speeches. Instead of saying that you need to turn from sin, we're telling them there's some bad choices that you made. No, that's not, you're falling short of the glory of God. How is that? Because you don't look like God when you do that. We have to look like God, and if what we're doing makes us look like anything other than God, then we need to stop it, because God said, I want you to look just like me. The whole reason why you're here is to look like me. The whole reason why you're here is so that you can mimic everything I've done, so that you can be a replica of me in the earth. I wish I had somebody that heard me today. You got to understand that as a disciple, the word disciple means a disciplined learner. I've learned from him. He's taught me with his own hand and his own mouth. Oh, come on and say amen. And so since I've been taught by him, I'm going to distribute what I've been taught. Amen. He said, and so he took the bread. He gave thanks to God for the bread, and then he gave it to them, and he gave them also the fish. And verse 12 says, and when they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain.